When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions as we get ready here for another hour and plenty going on here, not just tonight, but of course all week as we get ready for week 16 of the NFL season. What are the chances that your favorite team is going to make the playoffs? What do they got to do in these final three games? We'll dive into a little bit of that coming up. But first, huge slate, NBA, college hoops. And no better way to start this hour than with a same game parlay with none other than our good friend, Davis Maddock. Davis, what do you got for us tonight?
All right, guys, we are back for another same game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook, turning our attention to the NBA tonight, the Denver Nuggets traveling to play at the Toronto Raptors. We have Nikola Jokic, who is now only slightly favored over Joel Embiid and Luka Doncic to win the MVP, taking on a team that really doesn't know what to make of themselves. However, it is a team that plays rather large, and I think the spread is suggesting this is going to be pretty competitive. We are going to begin our same game parlay by taking the Nuggets money line. I love to make these Jokic correlated wagers with the Nuggets money line -4.5 points. Then we are going to take Nikola Jokic to record 25 or more points. He is averaging 26 points this season. There's been a fair few blowouts in there as well. Then we are going to add Nikola Jokic to record 10 or more assists. That is just below his seasonal average. Again, I think this is a matchup that favors him with smaller centers overall on the Toronto Raptors roster. And then we are going to juice it up a little bit by taking Jokic to record 12 or more rebounds. We really haven't had a statement game from Jokic since that game against Brooklyn on the 14th. It's been few and far between. Very bad game against the Bulls right before that. This four-leg same-game parlay is going to give us +536 odds. Denver Nuggets -4.5. Nikola Jokic to score 25 or more points, record 10 or more assists, and record 12 or more rebounds. Good luck tonight, everybody.
All right, Davis, appreciate that as we welcome in our radio audience on this Wednesday, now December the 20th. It is Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and getting ready for the opening tip here on a great slate of college basketball games here tonight. Let us not forget the NBA, also with a loaded slate as they get ready for their annual Christmas week games here. Always a good time here. It's a little different this year with the NBA, given the fact that this inaugural in-season tournament, which nobody really had any idea what to expect. But listen, the ratings are in. The headlines were in. The NBA did a great job of keeping people interested in their sport, in their league, which other sports have found very hard to do during the NFL season, because we were joking last hour with Mark Zeno about, for years, the running joke was that the NBA season didn't start until Christmas, because usually there's no NFL, there wasn't any college football. They had a prime audience all to themselves, no other sports but the NBA. But of course, this year now, well, that all changed because we have plenty of NFL action coming up this weekend for Christmas Eve and for Christmas. And, well, they dominated the headlines for a number of weeks with that in-season tournament. So they did a really good job of getting folks and even the most casual fans interested in this tournament. And I do think, as much as I bashed it and hated and said, who really cares about this, ultimately, The players look like they gravitated towards it. It looks like they embraced it. And, you know, not bad having LeBron James, Anthony Davis and company. Even the younger teams there with Halliburton and Indiana. It was a good time had by all. And ultimately, it's better for the NBA when people are interested in your product long before the playoffs actually show up. So the NBA has got a great sled of games here tonight that we're looking forward to. My Miami Heat are up by 95 here, taking on the Orlando Magic. No Jimmy Butler here tonight. Keep that in mind. Not that I think it's going to matter very much, but ironically enough, this line has not moved in 12 hours. This has been five, Orlando laying five from this morning. It still remains five, and we know Jimmy Butler's not playing, but the Miami Heat did welcome back Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo last game against Minnesota, and they promptly blew another double-digit lead to the Timberwolves in the second half. So Jimmy's going to get the night off in a long slate of home games that the Miami Heat have. They've got to travel a couple of hours up the coast here to Orlando to play this game and then come on back down. Jimmy's going to take the night off, but I am looking forward to seeing game number two back for Bam and Tyler Hero. I think there's a reason why this line has not moved anymore towards Orlando, even though the ticket count certainly looks like there's a lot of people who have run and bet the Orlando Magic who are rested and ready to go. I don't know about that. I think five's a lot to give a very motivated Miami Heat team here who's got their leading scorer, leading defender back. I think this is going to be a pretty good game here tonight with the Heat and the Orlando Magic. And that's one of the early games. And what a way to end the game tonight, the slate of games out west, as you've got the Kings, the Sacramento Kings, going to be taking on the Boston Celtics. And I would caution folks before you go, well, didn't Boston just lose to Golden State in overtime last night? It's got to be, I mean, that's got to be an instant fade, right? Well, if it was anybody other than the Boston Celtics, I would say yes. But wait a minute. Tatum's not playing, right? Al Horford's not playing here tonight. You got to back the Kings, right? Yeah, Porzingis is going for the Celtics here tonight. And of course, you've got White and you've got a very deep Celtics team that has done really, really well on the second of back-to-backs in this spot. So before you run and fade them, there was a lot of the quotes I was reading. They were not happy last night about losing to Steph Curry in overtime there. They had a chance to close the door, and they did not. They missed their last four shots before the end of regulation, weren't able to get it done. But they are looking forward here tonight, possibly to getting back in the W column. They sit 20-6 on the season, and Sacramento is looking to get that statement win, right? They're looking to get that where we got to take you seriously. Well, the only way we're going to take you seriously, Sacramento, is if you can defend home court and win games like this against, the best in the league. And that's exactly what the Celtics are. I think it's going to be a great way to end the slate of games here tonight. Currently, 2.5 is what Sacramento is laying. 236.5 might not be enough. We'll talk more about that as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here as we count down the days, getting ready to say goodbye to 2023. And welcome in 2024, and that is pretty mind-blowing if you ask me. But with that comes a new postseason in the NFL season as the final 3 weeks of regular season games are coming up upon us here. Week 16 kicking off tomorrow night, but Where do we sit right now as far as who's in, who's out, what is still left to play? Here to kind of help us navigate through it all is our good friend Brady Cannon here. And Brady, I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head. Like, this is week 16. We're already bowl games. We're getting ready to crown a national champion in a couple of weeks. New year just around the corner. It is kind of mind-blowing, but we only have four teams that we know for sure are in the postseason. That's 10 spots with the new layout and the qualifying for the NFL here. We do have a couple of new teams in. So outside of those four, I don't know that this week, it could very well come down to the final week, Brady, before we really have, a lot is going to matter, I think, in week 18, isn't it?
I really think it will, Joe. Yeah, absolutely, especially with the added teams there. I mean, you've got the NFC South. They're not going to get a wild card, but it might take all the way to week 18 to decide that division. You know, and then you've got the AFC South. They're probably not going to get a wild card either. It might take until week 18 to decide that division. And then you and I were talking before we came on about, you know, the year of the fallen quarterback. I mean, how many backup quarterbacks are starting on Sunday or this weekend, what have you, Thursday through Monday, I guess. I mean, there's 32 teams in the league. I think there's 20 backups or something like that. And Trevor Lawrence is one of those guys that is questionable, still dealing with a concussion. So he may not go for Jacksonville this week. They could have a real tough road to hoe to close out that division. You figure Dallas and Philadelphia, they've got it locked up. You look over in the NFC West, Seattle and the Rams are still fighting for spots. The AFC West, the Broncos are still alive. Believe it or not, the Raiders are actually still alive. The Colts, you know, that I go back to the AFC South. I don't think the Texans are out of it. I mean, they proved what a tough out they are last week in that overtime victory over the Titans. C.J. Stroud not going. Case Keenan comes in. They're supposed to lose. They scratch and claw back and win that game. I wouldn't be surprised if they won again this week. The team I like the most that is currently on the outside looking in the NFC is the Los Angeles Rams. I think in the last 5 or 6 weeks, they have been trending upward more so than any other team probably in the entire league. This team is really starting to play some good football. I don't think they're all that just yet, but, you know, they could even possibly threaten. I mean, they just threatened the Ravens, took them to overtime a couple weeks ago, right? I mean, you know, if you're the 49ers are likely going to get a bye, but if you're a high seed in the NFC, maybe the Dallas Cowboys or something, I don't think you want to take on the Los Angeles Rams right now.
Yeah, well, no, and that's why this game coming up tomorrow night is of uber importance. It feels like a playoff game tomorrow night. But when you think about week 15, and we have two teams from the NFC least, I mean East, that have already punched their ticket. Two, not one, two from the NFC East. You've got the 49ers, and then the Ravens are really the only ones that have solidified their ability that we know are going to the postseason. So the AFC remains unbelievably wide open. I was just having the conversation. I'm not giving Miami the AFC East. Don't forget, their last game is at home against who? The Buffalo Bills. And Buffalo's schedule is much easier over the next couple of games than what the gauntlet Miami has to go through, starting with, of course, the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. So there is still a good chance that Buffalo wins this division, Brady.
No, you're absolutely right. And the way they're playing right now in my power ratings, Joe, I have them as the third best team in the NFL. You know, I have San Francisco number one, the Ravens number two, Buffalo number three. I have Miami down, you know, kind of in Detroit neighborhood, maybe half a point worse. You know, I've got Philadelphia and Kansas City and Dallas. You know, they're all kind of shuffling week to week. But I think all those teams are kind of interchangeable. But I think Buffalo, the way they're playing right now, the Ravens and San Francisco are clearly above that six-pack that may be sitting underneath them. And then the AFC North is a real crapshoot, too. I mean, what a job that Kevin Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns have done. I mean, a lot of people left this team for dead when they lost to Deshaun Watson. They've had two quarterbacks since then. And what, have they lost one game? A tough test this week going on the road. But once again, they, you know, are going to face a backup quarterback. They're in the role of the favorite. I think Cleveland probably gets in. Cincinnati's been wild. You know, Jake Browning has been very, very good. They were absolutely beatable last week by the Vikings, but they somehow pulled it out. They're now a favorite on the road at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh obviously having incredible problems as of late, having lost three straight. Yeah, I don't know if we know too much besides those four teams at this point, Joe.
Well, it's funny, too, because when you look at it, and the Browns, you're right. I thought Stefanski heading into the season was coaching for his job. And, you know, what he's had to go through, that team has had to go through. And for them to sit 9-5, and I believe they can actually clinch a spot this weekend if they win. They got to take down the Texans, right? And if they get a little bit of help, all of a sudden, the Browns are in. So that would give us at least two teams from the AFC North, two from the AFC East. Who the hell wins the AFC South? Because I think that's going to determine, or let's just say it, right? The AFC South, whoever wins it is in. Let's say it's Jacksonville. But there's going to be another team from that division that's actually going to grab the wild card, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, what are the Colts? 7-8 and 7 are the Colts now?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, so they could get to 10 wins. 10 wins seems like the magic number. And the Texans are also 8-7. I'm really hoping, you know, this C.J. Stroud looks like he's going to miss a second straight week. Really bummed me out because I've got a division ticket on the Houston Texans at plus 650. I bet that before they went to Cincinnati and beat Joe Burrow and company, and then they plummeted to like plus 250. I really think, I mean, it was a blow that Stroud looks like he's not going to go this week. We'll see what happens this week. But I think they have a pretty decent chance to run the table. The toughest game I believe they have is the last one on the road at Indianapolis. Now, they're a little bit of same season revenge here. The Colts got them early in the season. They should obviously have Stroud back by then. That ought to be a heck of a game. And that may determine your division winner right there. I'm almost ready to throw Jacksonville out. They have absolutely been struggling the last 4 or 5 weeks. Ever since they went on that win streak where they were in London and won a couple games over there, then they came back, won a couple more games. They had won 5 in a row. They took their bye week. They came out of their bye week and got pummeled by San Francisco. And ever since, it's been very inconsistent. And now you've got Trevor Lawrence. You know, it was the ankle, now the concussion. So things are going a little bit sideways for Jacksonville right now.
Well, and it's funny because in those two divisions there, like we mentioned earlier, Dolphins last game against the Bills. That could be for the AFC winner, AFC East winner right there, right? The Browns take on the Bengals on the last game. That, too, could be an elimination game for one of them. Whoever wins that advances to the wild card spot here. And then is it Denver? Oh, he's not going to catch Kansas City. I don't think they're going to catch Kansas City. But they don't play one another down the stretch here. So all of these games in Week 18, Brady, is in the AFC. They could all be elimination games in Week 18, and I guess that's kind of what they had in mind when planning it.
Well, I tell you, Week 18, Joe, you know, is usually a great week for bettors because you get these teams in the quote-unquote must-win situation playing a team that wants to play the spoiler, and I love playing on the team that wants to be the spoiler. Yep. That must-win situation adds a lot of pressure, you know, but we may not have a lot of those this year. These games are truly going to mean something for both sides.
All matter. That's correct. We'll talk about some of those games coming up next here with Brady Cannon on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network here on this Wednesday, December 20th, as we get ready for Week 16 of the NFL season. Joe Ranieri alongside Brady Cannon. We've been talking about just how it's all shaping up over the final 3 weeks here, Brady, when it comes to the AFC and who's in and who's out. And it's a fascinating way it may end up, given the fact that the Texans end the season against the Colts, the Bills end the season against the Dolphins, the Browns end the season against the Bengals. Week 18 could absolutely be for all the marbles. It's almost as if we are getting an extra week of playoffs because that's what those games will amount to. in the AFC. The NFC is a little different here because we already know 49ers, they're going to probably get the number one seed. You've got the Eagles, you got the Cowboys. The Vikings have to play the Lions two out of the next three games, which is also kind of crazy.
So, you know what's another good one, Joe? Another good one is the Rams and the Niners play the final week of the season.
Yes.
San Francisco could be trying to lock up the number one seed. The Rams could be trying to, you know, get a playoff spot. That ought to be another good one. That one's in LA, I believe, too. And the Rams, you know, they've been playing great.
Yep. And I'll just throw another one in, and it leads us into one of the games coming up here. The Seahawks win was against the Eagles was just absolutely phenomenal. They were backs against the wall, season on the line. They didn't have their starting quarterback, or they did, but then they, and once the line got moved far enough, I guess they felt it okay to say Drew Locke was going to come in there. The whole Geno's playing, not playing thing is a whole nother conversation. But the Seahawks now find themselves in a spot where they play the Titans this week, Steelers after that, and then they finish against the Arizona Cardinals. All three of these games are winnable, and all three, I would think, have to be won in order to be able to give themselves a chance. So in other words, a team like Seattle controls their destiny to a certain degree. They don't need help right now. They just need to win the games. Going to Tennessee, don't know if Geno's playing or he doesn't play. I would think if he is healthy enough, he's going to go against Tennessee, who... I'm not playing Will Levis if I'm Vrabel. Why? You already know what you have. He's your future. Why are you going to, you know, jeopardize possibly getting more injury to that ankle already?
No, I totally agree with you. And Levis, you know, the competitor he is, he may want to go and be chomping at the bit. And, you know, that ankle injury didn't look too brutal. I haven't heard a whole lot of report. I mean, yeah, the way he landed looked very brutal, but he walked off the field, you know, didn't appear too worse for the wear. But if it's a high ankle sprain, then we know that's certainly going to table him or shelf him for a couple of weeks. Tannehill, I'm not so sure, isn't an upgrade over Will Levis. You know, there's certainly not a whole lot of difference in my mind between those two quarterbacks. And Tannehill, he could be, you know, doing an audition here, playing for next year, trying to show off his stuff because we don't believe he's going to be in Tennessee next season. And then that win that you talk about for Seattle, I was on the Seahawks. I think I had plus four. I know I had him in a couple of contests. And I was thinking Geno was going to go all along. And then we hear it's Drew Locke and the line goes to five. It's bouncing around. I'm like, oh, goodness. And then what a game it was. What a finish it was. It started out kind of slow, but what a fourth quarter it was for sure. But, you know, that's that classic scenario, Joe, that we've talked about a lot this year, a home underdog that wins outright that then goes into the role of road favorite. That has only won for the road favorite once so far this season. So, you know, that team like Seattle in this case could be ready for a letdown. Also, the line could be a little bit inflated for what everybody saw on national TV. They also saw the Titans lose a really brutal one in overtime. So there could be a little bit of line value there. My power ratings came to Seattle minus 1.5 or 2. But when I crunched all the stats, I actually came out with the Tennessee Titans as a 1.5-point favorite. And it's probably due to because how they've been improving quite a bit in the last three or four weeks. Obviously, the win over Miami, they've looked like a totally different team, really, that has been competitive the last few weeks versus what they were in the first part of the season. So I think maybe the best bet in this game is to tease Tennessee up. You know, it's right there at 2.5. Perfect fit for the Wong teaser structure, taking it to plus 8.5. I think you're in a pretty good spot there. And another good one to pair it with, maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers at 2 or 2.5, taking them to 8 or 8.5. I mean, you can't really get any lower on the Pittsburgh Steelers stock right now. They've lost 3 in a row. There's rumblings in the building about Tomlin possibly not being there. I mean, that's almost sacrilege. And now Mason Rudolph going to be at quarterback, and I'm not so sure he isn't an upgrade over Trubisky, certainly probably a more accurate passer. So there's a teaser I kind of like right there, the Titans and the Steelers.
I'm pretty sure you and I are an upgrade over Trubisky there. that big game coming up there against the Bengals, who again needs to keep winning here. And of all the backup quarterbacks that we have seen, Brady, Is he the one that impressed you the most? Now, I've always been under the assumption a good backup quarterback can win you two games with your starting quarterback on the sideline. If you're expecting them to win more than two games, yeah, that's probably not a recipe for success. The kid, I mean, they've been phenomenal. Well coached. Everyone else has stepped up. What are we thinking here? Is he the best of the rest right now?
I think he is, Joe. It took me a couple weeks to get sold on him, but I think I am at this point. This guy might be really good. He might be a starter in the league next year. If he keeps playing like this, I'm not kidding, you know? I mean, who's been better? Have there been any backups that have been better than this guy? And how about,
no.
I mean, Will Levis has been pretty good, but is Jake Browning any worse than him? I don't think so. Who else have you got? I mean, Geno Smith, is Jake Browning worse than him? No, yeah. I think Jake Browning is definitely an average quarterback and maybe a point or two higher than that.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the kid is reminds me of the days back when Jeff Hostetler took under for one Phil Sims, and everyone was like, "Oh, no, he's good." Yeah, all right. Well, is that Super Bowl ring working out for you? Stranger things have absolutely happened here in this season. We've got plenty of big games coming up. A lot of focus going to be on obviously the 49ers and the Ravens. What's here down in South with Dallas taking on Miami? What is the one game that stuck out to you the most that you like this week?
I think this week is especially tough, Joe. I didn't find too many that I really loved. You talk about the game in your neck of the woods. At first I was really looking at Miami. My numbers say Miami, but Dallas, you know, they're going to come with effort off of that loss. They were embarrassed in that game. And now Miami, I mean, their whole offensive line is injured. You know, they've got all kinds of injuries left and right. So I really don't want any part of the Dolphins. I did use Dallas in a tease. I think you're okay anywhere from a 6, 6.5, 7, even 10-point teaser. I think that's a good play. Just the one straight play that stuck out to me a little bit, though, was the Minnesota Vikings. And there's still maybe a few 3.5s out there. But if you jumped on it early, I think 3.5s a really good number here with the Minnesota Vikings. And like I say, I think there's still some out there. And you might be able to get one a little later in the week, because right now the Detroit Lions are favored by 3 points with heavy juice on the favorite. You know, 3 minus 120, 3 minus 125. So you could see a 3.5 pop again. And Detroit, you know, that was a team I loved last week, and they punished the Denver Broncos. A great bounce-back situation for them. But now they go on the road in division against a very hungry Minnesota team. We talked about that game with Cincinnati a little earlier. They were very competitive in that game, probably should have won that game. Nick Mullins was a little bit sloppy, but now he's got another week of practice. Justin Jefferson's another week healthy. I think Minnesota all season long has had the better defense. Brian Flores has been a fantastic defensive coordinator for this club. So I think Minnesota has a real chance to not only win this game outright, but certainly keep it within a field goal. And like you talked about, they're going to play Detroit two times over the next 3 weeks. So this is probably the prime spot to get them, because they're in their home building, which I think, you know, another edge in the Minnesota favor here. I think Minnesota has one of the best home field advantages in football. Those fans are going to be fired up for a division game with playoff spots on the line.
Playoff game tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned, with the Rams and the Saints. I get the better coach with the proven Super Bowl winning quarterback against a worse coach and a guy that always never shows up in games like this. So it's the Rams for me. I mean, are you looking at the Saints or the Rams in this one?
I'm not going to play this one, Joe, as far as a side goes. And I hear everything you're saying about the coaching mismatch, the quarterback mismatch. Sometimes that's all you need to do in a handicap, right? Who's got the better coach and the quarterback? Give me that team. Well, that would certainly be the Rams in this game. I hate to bet on the Saints as a favorite. They're not as bad as an underdog. They also seem to, I mean, what have they been doing lately? Why are their statistics on the rise as of late? Because they've beaten up on the Giants and the Panthers. Who cares? So I think if I was going to do anything with this game, Joe, I might look at under the total. The Saints have been running the ball well. That running game for the Rams has really been good as of late. Maybe you'll see a lot of rushing of the football in this game, and it's another prime time under, maybe on our hands here. So I think that's probably the direction I would go if I was going to do anything with this game.
Yeah, it's gotta love it though. Week 16, Brady, and we've got pretty much elimination games from here on out, yeah, and a couple each week, and it could very well buckle up the week 18 games. Not just playing spoiler, this is teams battling for the a shot to be in the playoffs. So it should be an awful lot of fun to watch it unfold. Brady Cannon, always a pleasure, my man. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in now. Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday in the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, now joined by the man taking over the controls here at the top of the hour for In Game Live Primetime. Scotty Wetzel in the house here, and great slate here, Scotty, not just in college basketball, NBA, couple of interesting NHL games, getting ready for, we were just talking with Brady Cannon about, the extra games now, we've got extra teams qualifying for the playoffs, and man, I got to tell you, this week, week 17 and 18, it may not be a whole lot of one team with nothing to play for and another team with something. They're all elimination games is the way it's all shaping up here. I don't know if the NFL, I'm assuming that's what the NFL wanted, but Buffalo and Miami could be for the AFC East here in week 18. I mean, that's how it's shaping up right now. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Joe, they really, I don't know if they planned this out or figured this out or they just kind of lucked into it, right? But we got some really good big games down the stretch. Even this weekend, San Fran Baltimore game, even though nothing, you know, for more intents and purposes on the line for San Fran, but it's just a little litmus test of, all right, if they beat Baltimore, you know, which has got the number one seed right now in the AFC, what are the Super Bowl odds going to be like for San Fran now? So you best hop on that plus 220. You mentioned you got the Dolphins in a couple weeks taking on Buffalo. You know, that probably will decide the division the way the Dolphins are playing. So we've had Philadelphia and Dallas. So it's been pretty good. The only one I will say, I heard you talking to Brady. You know, tomorrow night's game for Tampa or for New Orleans, listen, nothing is meaningless. But just know this, win or lose, they have to beat Tampa Bay the next week because Tampa Bay holds all the head-to-head tiebreakers. So let's just say, for sake of argument, Saints lose, Tampa Bay wins. Well, Tampa Bay still needs to beat the Saints. If the Saints lose and Tampa Bay wins, then even if the Saints still need, either way, Tampa Bay still needs to win because, or the Saints still need to win because they would have all the tiebreakers. So it all kind of goes in the, you know, you got to win if you want to be a wild card team. But as far as winning the division goes, it's almost like they're playing with house money because if they knock off Tampa Bay the following week, then it just evens the score and they're back to being in first place via tiebreakers. So,
yeah, the Bucks. It's interesting, right? They got the Jags, the Saints you talked about, and then they end up against the Panthers. All right, so you know, so much for that. And the Saints, like you said, it's not necessarily do or die in that game, but it could very well be a nice look-ahead spot here tomorrow night where I think the Rams, I guess, got a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. I got a guy that's the coach of the year. They know what the score is. A very young team that's playing lights out against the Saints team, like you said, knows their season ends or begins next week against Tampa. It feels like the Rams should be the right spot here. Are you leaning one way or the other?
That's what I'm thinking, Joe. A little surprised that the line is 46.5, the over-under. But with L.A. at home, I'll tell you the other thing. Remember, what was it, 2 years ago, right? It was the Indianapolis Colts that went down to Jacksonville. Jacksonville had one win, and they needed to win to make the playoffs, and they lose. And you think about what happened with that team, right? The quarterback was Carson Wentz. He's gone. The head coach, Reich, he's gone. I mean, the whole thing turned. You could kind of make the case here, right, with the NFC South. I mean, whoever doesn't win – You know, are they going to keep Todd Bowles around in Tampa Bay? I wouldn't think so. They got to keep Baker Mayfield around? Probably not. Atlanta with Arthur Smith, you know, is he going to hang around for another year? I kind of doubt it. Desmond Ritter, kind of doubt it. And even the New Orleans Saints, right? So it's not only just the playoffs. I think the head coach and the quarterbacks are all in line to be bounced if they don't win that division or make the playoffs. And maybe in some cases, even if they do, right? If they win the division at 8-9, I don't know if any of those coaches or players are coming back. So there's a lot riding on the final 3 weeks for sure.
It's crazy the way it's all shaping up. And even Houston and Indy, final game in week 18. That could be for who gets, not only the possibility, because how much faith do you have in the Jags figuring this thing out over the next 3 weeks? Or is Houston worth the shot at that kind of number there?
You know, at that kind of number, you said it, right? I mean, if it was just a 50-50 bet, I'd still probably take Jacksonville. But if you want to give me over 2.5 to 1, listen, C.J. Stroud's had a great year, right? But Case Keenum, you know, he wasn't great last week, but he got the job done. It's not like it's a monster drop-off. I still think they could beat the Cleveland Browns, right, this week at home. Why not? I mean, we're talking about, a 90-year-old Joe Flacco who's throwing more picks, more completions to the opposition last week than he was to his own team. That wouldn't shock me if Houston won. So I think the Texans, plus that 265, I think it was, I think they're a halfway decent bet. I would not be laying minus 126, I'll tell you that. But I do think, Joe, that Jacksonville finds a way to get a win. You know, all these teams, they're all 500, right? And a lot of times we get lost in the shuffle of this thing. Green Bay Packers, good example, right? They stunk, then they won a bunch of games, and now they're 6-6. Yeah. Jordan Love's turned things around. Okay, the Packers are back, blah, 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 blah. And what happens? They lose 2 in a row. Same thing now with Tampa Bay. You know, they were basically left for dead, 4-7, no good. But they're a decent team. I don't know if they're an 8-7 team. I think they're a 500 football team that just had its good little run and now is going to come back to the pack. And I think Jacksonville on the road is going to put it together, because ultimately, I take a step back. Both teams need the game. Who's the better team? I think Jacksonville is. I think they win this weekend.
And, the question remains then, which division gets the wild card spots, right? Yeah. Because, the Browns have to end the season against the Bengals, right? We already know the Ravens won, but that's the battle right there, right? Browns and Bengals, somebody's going to win that. I think the Steelers, we can stick a fork in here. And what about Denver? What do we do with the Broncos, who, if they win out, it's Kansas City's playing the Raiders, the Bengals, and the Chargers. None of those teams are of any consequence to the Chiefs here. But Denver has got to win some games here down the stretch, and maybe it's the AFC West that gets two teams.
Yeah, with everything said and done, right? I mean, you got to figure Buffalo's probably going to get in. Although if they lose to the Dolphins, you never know. But I think Buffalo's in. The Browns are going to be in. Not only are they one game up, Joe, but they've beaten everybody in the AFC South. So they hold head-to-head tiebreakers against all those teams, Jacksonville, Houston, and Indianapolis. So they'd have to go 0-3, which, it's the Browns. They're capable of it. But so you figure the Browns are in. It's that last one. And, you look at that Denver schedule. It's kind of playing with house money, like I mentioned before with the New Orleans. If they could have found a way to beat Detroit, they really would be in a catbird seat. But they didn't. But still, with that schedule left, I would think, they would get the nod, especially if C.J. Stroud's out for any longer. I do think, like I said, he's a pretty good quarterback, Case Keenum, but I don't know if he could carry that team. So Denver might be the team, believe it or not, after this crazy of a season.
Crazy. Right? Yep. Absolutely crazy. Their three remaining games, New England, the Chargers, and Vegas. Those are their three remaining games. So, yes, all very winnable games for them. So it is going to be an interesting next 3 weeks in the NFL. Again, I don't want to give them all the credit in the world, the NFL, but kudos to making these final 3 weeks actually matter for a lot of teams. Also, the NBA, though, funny, we usually say Christmas is the start of the NBA season. Well, that went out the window with the in-season tournament here, but we got a lot of great games coming up this week here. What are one or two of the games here tonight that you had circled that you think there might be some value here?
Yeah, I like some of these overs tonight. It's going to be an interesting game in Houston with the Rockets, right? Rockets want to slow things down. One of the rare under teams, whereas Atlanta's one of the monster over teams. This Rockets team is tough. I'm surprised they're only laying 3.5, Joe. They tip off here in about the 10 minutes top of the hour. I like them a lot tonight. Laying 3.5 against the Atlanta Hawks, really? Listen, I've seen enough games now where I'm buying in that, you know, they're winning some games on the road as well, Houston. So laying only 3.5, basically pick them at home where they got one home loss all year against a, you know, a mediocre Atlanta Hawks team. I like them a lot. I like the over a lot in the Clippers down Dallas Mavericks, 236.5. Dallas laid a bit of an egg the last time out at Denver, so I expect a monster effort out of them. Clippers are playing great basketball. And I also like the the Mavericks in the game. You know, we're all starting to buy in to James Harden and his Clippers team, and we've been down this road before. The moment you start buying in to this dopey Clippers team, something happens. You want to give me Dallas at home getting 1.5 too? I will gladly take that with the over.
Yeah, kind of crazy, right? I don't know what to do with it. It's a terrible spot for the Celtics tonight, but are we ready to fade the Celtics? I'm not. No Tatum, but Porzingis is playing here tonight, and really, or what, we have that much faith in Sacramento to get it done? And maybe the over is worth a look in this one.
I do like the over a little bit in this one. I'm going to go with Sacramento. I'm going against my Celtics. You know, they're only 6-6 on the road, and Sacramento's 10-3 at home. Sacramento's got no love whatsoever. I'm not sure why. I mean, to me, they were, you know, kind of like the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, up-and-coming team last year. We had great record, you know, counted themselves well in the postseason. Nothing crazy, but no reason to think that they were going to come back to the pack. And you're getting them against good teams, Joe, but you're getting them basically a pick 'em odds at home, whereas most other teams would be, a 4, 5, 6-point favorite here. I mean, Boston's best player, you said it, Jason Tatum's not playing, and Sacramento's still only a 3.5, 3-point favorite? I don't know. I'll take the Kings with their 10-3 home record. And the over.
Absolutely crazy. And the over. I have no problem fading the Lakers tonight on a red-hot Bulls team that nobody's talking about. You know, you lose your best player, and all of a sudden, you're playing the best basketball we've ever seen. That's isn't that a kick right there? And meanwhile, the Lakers, congratulations, you won the in-season tournament, but I think they ran out of gas before. You know, that's a lot of energy and effort for an older team this early in the season. I think they're starting to pay that price right now.
Well, and you know, the other thing, Joe, as goofy as it was, it's labeled them as champions. So not that teams wouldn't get up for LeBron and the Lakers probably anyway, but, you know, now it's like, hey, you know what? The in-season, whatever it is, you know, the champs are coming to town. Let's get up. Let's give our A effort. It's LeBron. It's this. It's that. I can't believe they actually raised a banner the other night. That really is just, like, comical. Yeah, really? You're going to raise a banner? And half the guys are all taken off now, so you got to figure out who's playing. So,
yeah. They put the banner in like a dark corner somewhere in the building, like not anywhere near all the other championship banners, which is absolutely hilarious here. You only had a couple of games banners on the ice. Go.
No, let me go to basketball real quickly. Speaking of banners, we got one of our best systems in play tonight. The anti-celebration system. Didn't realize this. Doing a little research. Villanova taking on Creighton tonight. Nova's getting 9.5. Creighton is retiring Doug McDermott, the coach's son's jersey, at halftime. Anti-celebration. Never. You go always bet against. Lakers lost to the Knicks the other night. Villanova plus the 9.5 and throw a couple of checkles on the money line as well tonight.
Just when I think I have heard every one of Scott Wetzel's systems, he throws another one out that blows me away. Scotty, enjoy the show here tonight, guys. We'll close it out next year on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we wrap up this edition. Have no fear, though. In-game live primetime is coming up. Plenty of action across the board here tonight, especially in college hoops, as a number of the 7 p.m. tip-off games are at the break, including Baylor and Duke. What a game at Madison Square Garden this is turning out to be. 34-32 right now. Duke has a 2-point lead here at the break. They were laying 2.5, 3 at the close. Should be a heck of a second half coming up there. We told you we liked Ryder getting 10.5 points earlier against Delaware. Well, they're at the break. They're up 40-38 right now. Also, we said be very careful with Seton Hall right now. 34-29, Seton Hall on top of number 5 UConn. So buckle up, that should be a heck of a second half. And the Johnnies, St. John's, running all over Xavier, 44-36. The over was never a bad look in that one. Plenty of games still to come here, though, of course, getting ready for Northwestern, Arizona State, Villanova, Creighton, and Alabama, Arizona will close the night in what should be a very, very fun college basketball game. Quickly in the NBA, Magic down to the Heat, 40-38 right now with 6 minutes to go and a half, and the Sixers up 3, 44-41 over the Timberwolves, about 5 minutes to go there. Coming up, Lakers, Bulls a couple of minutes away, as well as the Hawks and Raptors, leading us to a couple of good games tonight. The Clippers and the Mavs and the Celtics and the Kings to round it all out. So great stuff going on here tonight. In-game live primetime is coming your way. No reason to go anyplace else. Scotty Wetzel and the crew, they take over. We'll see you again tomorrow for more Game Time Decisions. Until then, best of luck with your players.